I'm Anthony Pastore, and this is the Global Edition of Top of the Morning. The Global Edition of the Top of the Morning Review and Preview takes a broader look at news from around the world. Today, the latest U.S. Federal Reserve rate decision, the impact of the global lower-for-longer sentiment, Bill Gates' thoughts on how to effectively impact climate change, global economic data, and more. Today's guest, Chris Swan, cross-asset strategist for the UBS Chief Investment Office. Today is Friday, September 20th, 2019. Chris, as always, happy Friday to you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Nice to be here, Anthony.
Chris, in the U.S. this week, the Federal Reserve, as we know by now, cut interest rates by another 25 basis points after they did cut back in July. But there seems to be a lack of consensus within FOMC members, as less than half see another cut this year. What is the CIO view on this particular situation?
Well, it's certainly understandable that there would be a degree of confusion on the FOMC, and one of our main themes over recent weeks has been precisely that there is a lack of visibility, particularly on the issue of trade, which has really been driving markets. So in the event that we see a trade deal, a lot of the uncertainty over the global economic outlook would perhaps lift. In addition, the economic data that we've been seeing in the US and elsewhere has been extremely mixed. On the one hand, there's clearly a contraction in the global manufacturing sector. On the other hand, that's although it's conspicuous, it's a relatively small part of most economies, particularly in the US, around 10%, larger in Germany and some other nations. Meanwhile, the consumer side of many economies, and again, particularly thinking of the United States, since this is the Federal Reserve, has been very strong, along with the labor market. The Fed, like most investors, will be looking for clarity on how the trade dispute evolves over coming weeks. We keep seeing a back and forth in terms of levels of optimism, and also whether the manufacturing slowdown that we've been seeing spreads out into the service sector and starts to undermine job creation.
Terrific. And sticking with the theme of central banks, now that U.S. rates are close to zero and real returns on cash in the Eurozone, Japan, and the U.K. are already negative, so it means we're in this lower for longer cycle. Many investors therefore see cash as a safe haven. What are the thoughts here from the Chief Investment Office, Chris?
Well, cash can be a safe haven in the very short term and a tremendous drain on returns over the very long term. So as you were pointing out, the real return after inflation on U.S. deposits now is around 0.25%. And you're actually seeing the real spending power of your money going down in Switzerland, in the Eurozone, and in the U.K. Our view is sort of sitting on the sidelines in cash reduces your long-term chances of meeting your financial goals. And there are just better ways of reducing risk. The first one, which is not always easy for investors, we all face this behavioral bias, is simply to take a longer-term horizon. So the chances of cash outperforming stocks in any given month is around 43%, but the likelihood of cash outperforming progressively falls as your time horizon increases. And over the past 20 years, for example, the average return on U.S. stocks has been around 6%, and the average cash deposit rate has been around 1.6%. So cash gives the illusion of safety, but not the reality. Instead, taking a longer-term time horizon, diversifying both in terms of geography and asset classes, means that you can reduce your risks without having that large drag on returns.
Thank you, Chris. I want to switch gears with you for a moment. There were some comments that came out recently from Bill Gates the philanthropist and former head of Microsoft, and he came out and said that to tackle climate change, simply divesting away from investments in fossil fuels could be a simple waste of time. And instead, he suggests putting your money into alternatives like disruptive technologies that could slow carbon emissions. And this really does seem to tap into a number of our CIO investment themes, right?
Well, first of all, it's very intuitive to think if I simply sell coal firms, oil firms, high emission firms, tobacco, any of these companies that you might have that you might have ethical concerns about for whatever reason, it's very intuitive that that would be a good idea. But of course, it doesn't actually take capital away from the company, because obviously somebody else is simply buying your stock. They may actually care less about these ecological issues than you do. So we think about this in two separate ways. First of all, it's perfectly reasonable for investors to want to align their portfolio to their values. So we wouldn't necessarily always discourage investors from divesting stocks that they find objectionable. If they simply don't want to hold it, that's understandable. It might not produce a dramatic effect in terms of ecological or societal improvement. So instead, we recommend two approaches. One is an engagement approach, where you specifically target and invest in companies that are facing ESG, or environmental, social, and governance challenges, and nudge them in the right direction through lobbying as a shareholder. The second, as you mentioned, is to invest in companies, as say Bill Gates has done in the area of artificial protein, that are disrupting high emission industries or businesses such as meat production. Obviously, Bill Gates has invested quite heavily in artificial substitute meat products, as just one example. And obviously, there are a wide range of options for investors in green energy if they want to go beyond simply divesting stocks that they consider objectionable and taking more active steps to improve the environment.
Right. And for those listening in who are clients of UBS, there are opportunities within our investment themes for investing. So you could speak to your financial advisor or client advisor, depending on where you're located. Chris, there's some inflation data that's coming out next week in the United States. Germany also has really important economic data as well, listed under consumer confidence. And both of those are closely watched by the country's respective central banks. What are the CIO's expectations?
So the PCE index, or PCE deflator, that's coming out next week. That's the Fed's favorite measure of inflation. And recently, it's been relatively stable on a core basis at about 1.6%. Obviously, as you were saying earlier, the Federal Reserve was deeply divided at its last meeting. So that's an important indicator to see if it provides clarity. Obviously, any uptick in inflation makes it even harder for the Fed to ease policy more. In Germany, we have the IFO index of business confidence coming out, and also some consumer measures, as you also mentioned. Germany is an interesting case study in terms of the knock-on effects of an industrial slowdown on consumer confidence. And it's a particularly acute problem in Germany, or potentially acute problem, just because the industrial side of the economy is so strong. Another question that investors will be asking over coming months is whether you start to see a rise in German unemployment, which could obviously have quite a significant knock-on effect on sentiment.
Thank you so much. What a terrific rundown for the week. A lot going on, and it's always good to have your insights. Chris Swan, Cross Asset Strategist for the UBS Chief Investment Office. Have a great weekend, Chris.
Thanks, Anthony. You too.
And for more information, as I mentioned earlier, for our listeners, if you are a client of UBS, make sure to reach out to your financial advisor in the U.S. And for Those of our clients in Europe, Asia Pacific, and Latin America, speak to your UBS client advisor. From the studios in New York City, I'm Anthony Pastore. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great day. This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.